Second hour, Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on this Friday morning. Got a lot to get into. Don't forget, you just made the list coming up at high noon. We'll also head to Kansas City, learn a little bit more about the Chiefs in the third hour, and then pick six in the final hour. But first, Big Joe on the go. It's an easy follow. He's free and easy to do, at Big Joe on the go. That's his Twitter handle. He now joins us, Joe Dubin. Good morning, Joe. What's going on?
Good morning, guys. Quick question. Is our big-time friend Chase still working there, or has he gone network? I was curious.
I think the deal, nothing's been signed. The ink has not dried. Just saying.
Nice. All right. Well, though, good job last week, Chaser.
Thank you. I appreciate it, JoJo.
It was fun. We had this discussion. You're perfect to ask on this stuff. 15 years ago, hard to believe, we're in that week window of 15 years ago, Starwood Amphitheater. For people that, you know, have been in Nashville for a long time. That's when they closed their doors. We were talking about the last show that we saw. Do you remember the last show that you saw at Starwood?
Yeah, it was Motley Crue. It was September of 2005. A friend of mine got me third row seats and said, "Hey, man, we're third row Motley Crue." And I'm thinking, I'm not sure this is a good idea. And it was so loud that I'm not kidding you, I called in sick to work Monday and Tuesday because I could not hear. And when Vince Neil came, they did like a two-tier show. They did like one part of the show, some new songs nobody really cared about. Then it took about a five-minute break. They came back out again, and Vince Neil rode a Harley on stage.
Oh.
And that was like sitting inside the engine of a 747, and it got louder and louder. That was the last show I saw was Motley Crue, and to this day, it still hurts my head thinking about how loud that show was.
Now, wait a minute. Chase, did we say it was Motley Crue and Aerosmith, final show?
But you asked him the last show he
went
to.
No, I know, but I'm saying, is that the show, Joe,
no,
or just
it was
Motley
a year
Crue
later.
Standalone?
It was a year later, 2006. It was like October of 2006. Okay. It was Aerosmith and Motley Crue.
Okay.
Yeah, so 2005, I saw them, and before that, and I wrote about this on my blog yesterday, my top five. Actually, my top six Starwood moments, Duran Duran came to concert. And for those who remember the Duran Duran show
there
in 2005, Simon Le Bon came out. He was singing the song. Yep. And about a minute into the show, he stopped everything, started cursing out his audio people, turned to the audience and said, "You guys deserve better. You paid good money to be here, and we're not coming back on stage till we get this blanking thing fixed." And he left.
I was there, Joe.
15 minutes later, he came back out, and it was just nobody said a word. We're like,
I know.
Is this an act, or is this real? And that's what he did. It was great.
I was sitting in the pavilion. I was under the roof for that, and I absolutely remember that.
And let's go back to 2001 or 2 when Sammy Hagar and David Lee Roth
came there for that. Yep.
And there's the reports that those two got into a fight backstage about who's going to come on last.
Oh.
And, like, their crew got into a fight with their crew, and David Lee Roth David Lee Roth, I think he started the show.
I was going to say, Sammy came on last, right?
That's right.
There for that.
Yeah. Huh, so somebody won the fight.
I have not heard the fight behind stage. Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, that tour didn't make it. Like they, and,
right.
And I think anyone that knew anything knew it wasn't going to.
Michael Anthony was there, Joe, and playing with Sammy.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So you wonder what happened backstage that – who got the TKO, and was there an official result of a knockout or something that made Sammy go later on? But that's what the sad part is, and we've all been here a long time in Nashville. That place, we drive by now, you're thinking, what was so special about this place? But, you know, when you go to the concert out there, and I remember a Buffett concert where it poured down rain, and everybody on the hill just slid down in the pavilion. It was chaotic, but it was fun. A friend of mine told me yesterday that he worked security at a Lynyrd Skynyrd concert, and he said they stopped counting at like 400 knives. They took away knives, people coming to the show. It's just the history of that place, and it's not there anymore. And I feel bad for my son. He'll never experience how great Starwood is.
I mean,
it still sits there vacant, by the way. Nothing has happened to that property.
Right.
Nothing.
I mean, you guys saw it in the heyday. You especially, Joe, because you grew up here. But you know, my first concerts were there. I saw Aerosmith. I saw Lynyrd Skynyrd. I saw Tom Petty, Hank Jr. I mean, I saw some great shows out there.
I would say the two most crowded shows I ever saw there were Lenny Kravitz. Like, you could not move. Like, if you were trying to navigate in the lawn,
right.
good luck. Yeah. You had no chance. And I would say Dave Matthews and Lenny Kravitz were probably where I think they were. If the fire marshal would have actually shown up, he would have shut down the show.
Nice. It's funny you say that about that. You know, Motley Crue was the loudest show. The loudest crowd I ever heard was 1990. A friend of mine called me up and said, hey, man, I got 10 row seats to concert Starwood. You want to go? I'm like, yeah, I'm bored. Who is it? He's like, it's New Kids on the Block. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, I'll go. They're pretty popular. And there was 99.8% girls and dads and a couple losers like myself were there. That was the loudest crowd show I've ever heard in my life. I mean, they were right.
They just
nonstop
screamed.
For hours.
Screamed for 2 hours. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. You brought up the game that Chase and Max did on television. They did a great job. Kelly Holcomb, who joined us yesterday, he's on every Thursday with us for Silly Underdog Picks. It was the game of the week. It was a national game. Huge expectations. Oakland, I don't want to say they made it look easy. They didn't make it look easy, but they were in control that game. Were you surprised by that?
A little bit, because rivalry games either are really, really good or really, really bad. I was hoping to be really, really good. And Oakland's just the better team. We all can agree they're the better team. But here's the deal. They're probably on a collision course to meet again in the playoffs. It's hard to stop speed. It's hard to stop speed on a well-coached football team. It's hard to stop speed on a well-coached football team that doesn't make mistakes. And that's what Oakland did. They played a near-perfect game. Now, Coach Creasy at Oakland will tell you they didn't, which he's supposed to do that. But I was a little bit surprised just the way how good Riverdale's defense was playing. So now they'll get ready and reset and meet in the playoffs, and that'll be another fantastic, epic showdown. But I don't think anybody can stop that Oakland train right now with Jordan James, the University of Georgia signee. They've got it all going now. And I think playing CPA and Lipscomb really tested it and showed them where they're vulnerable and where their strengths are. Which leads, Darren, into the next question.
Oh, yes, Joe. CPA in Lipscomb. They are the game of the week this week, and boy, that is a marquee matchup. CPA has been so impressive, but they played some classic games last year, if I recall. So, Joe, break it down. What do you think?
Well, not only that, but let me ask this, Willie. I mean, what other school in America is going against each other on a Friday night when the two head coaches play in the National Football League? I know Dilfer, and I know Engel spent some time with the Packers, but look, he was on the team, on the practice squad, with Brett Favre, their friends. So you've got two NFL quarterbacks going head-to-head tonight. I think that's fantastic for high school football, and especially for the kids at CPA and Lipscomb to do this. Now, CPA beat Lipscomb for the state title last year, and again, these two teams will be on another collision course in Division II, 2A to meet in the state championship. So tonight is one of those games, just go out there and play football. The CPA is loaded. Lipscomb is loaded. They both played Oakland, both almost beat Oakland. So they've got a kind of that in common tonight. But for seeding-wise, this is the game in 2-2A to go forward. And I really don't know if CPA wins 14-13, I'm not surprised. Lipscomb wins 21-20, I'm not surprised. I just know it's going to be a good football game. I think that's what we all wanted.
No question about it. No question about it. So this is what I'm wondering, Joe. If you know, and this may have been a question for last week too, but if you feel like there's a pretty good chance that you're going to have to go through this team again, does that change your game plan at all? Does it change what you might show in a regular season game?
Fantastic question. Here's the deal. If you win your region, then you get the lowest seed team in the other region to play. If you come in second in your region, you get the higher seeded team. So in the first round of the playoffs, more chances than not, you're going to be playing a very good football team in that first round. So I'd rather win tonight and just keep winning, take my chances and go forward. But if you lose tonight, your season's not over. You still go the other way and still can make it in there. But that's a thing you talk about with coaches, like, well, you know, if we don't win tonight, it's no big deal. There's not a coach. If you have a coach in America that tells you, well, if we win, no big deal, I don't want to play for that coach. And I guarantee you, with Engel Martin and Trent Dilfer, they're saying the same thing, like, we're going to win the game tonight. Because as we've told, Willie, coaches told you forever, what's the most important game? It's the next one. So for those two coaches, that game is tonight.
So with some of the games tonight, as the playoffs are just a couple of weeks away, what are some teams to watch of how that are on the bubble that they need to win tonight to have a chance at playing in the postseason?
Well, there's a lot of teams looking in the region that's having that way, but I want to tell you, steer you a little bit further, farther east with that same question. Tonight at Green Hill High School, Station Camp takes on Green Hill, and that could be for the Class 5A Region 5 title. Look, Green Hill is in its second year of football. Station Camp has been an okay program for a couple of years, nothing really great for about 10 years or so. But now, there could, if you'd have told me in week one that, hey, on week 10, Joe, you're talking about Station Camp and Green Hill, I would have said, no, we're not. But here we are, and that's a great game tonight. Both these teams are probably getting the playoffs, but that's what makes high school football so cool, is that these two schools, at the start of the season, the only people who probably believed in them were themselves. And so now they've got a great chance tonight to make it in and to get a big win and a big up in that region. Next week, Green Hill travels to Mount Juliet for their game. Now, Mount Juliet tonight plays Hillsboro. If Hillsboro can knock off Mount Juliet, and if Green Hill can win tonight, they win the region because they're undefeated in the region. Mount Juliet's got two losses. So pay attention also to the Hillsboro-Mount Juliet game. Hillsboro lost the first four or five coming out of the gate. They're playing good football now. They're going to Mount Juliet. If Hillsboro upsets Mount Juliet, I would not be surprised. That's a team right now that's on the bubble chase and needs a win tonight. That's also a great game. So we got three really good games tonight. CPA at Lipscomb, we've got Station Camp at Green Hill, and Hillsboro at Mount Juliet.
Yeah, and Hillsboro would play next week. Sorry about that. Hillsboro would play next week at Wilson Central. So, I mean, they are definitely one fighting for a spot. What are some other games that Main Street Preps needs us to know about that we haven't mentioned yet?
Good job, Chaser. Well, if you're looking for a great atmosphere for a football game tonight, go to Portland. Springfield goes to Portland. It's a big Class 5A Region 7 game. Springfield's 3-0 in the region. Portland's 2-1. If you've never been game at Portland, their football stadium, there's a train track right behind the home side. So when the train comes through like 40 times a game, it gets loud and the crowd loses its mind. It's packed up there. It's a lot of fun. That atmosphere is what makes high school football so much fun and so unique and so cool. So the Springfield at Portland game tonight is one that's pretty big. Also, up in Clarksville, Marshall County travels take on Montgomery Central. Two teams are kind of making their way in seeding for the playoffs. That's a big game tonight and a lot of fun. And also one more game, no regional implications, but it's just a fun community game. Gallatin travels to take on Lebanon. Lebanon is 7-1. They haven't been this good in years. So that's a big rival game. And Gallatin's beat Lebanon pretty bad over the years. So for Lebanon, they can win tonight, get a little revenge back at Gallatin. They're 8-1, some momentum heading to the playoffs. But it's going to be a fantastic night for high school football. Follow us at Main Street Preps for scores, for stories, and everything else you need, guys.
Okay, so I just looked this up because I was curious on this. My first ever rock concert was Aerosmith at Starwood Amphitheater, September 19th, 2001. You guys know Wahoo, George's friend Wahoo, Warren. His stepson is my best friend.
Warren Phillips.
He took us to this show, and we loved Aerosmith. They were great. And they played 25 songs that night. He made us leave after the 18th song. We didn't get to see Walk This Way or the encore.
Oh,
man.
Wait,
when was this?
September. It was right after 9/11.
Yeah, September 19th,
2001. Wow. And we weren't even sure if the show was going to happen because they had canceled a bunch of shows. But they were awesome. Like, Steven Tyler was on it. Joe Perry was on it. It was great.
You know what's funny is about that Aerosmith show in September, I believe I'm correct, of 88, Aerosmith opened it, was at Starwood, and their opening act was a hot young band out of L.A. called Guns N' Roses.
Oh, wow.
And they were simply, I didn't go to the show, but friends that went there said they were just simply incredible and really overshadowed Aerosmith at that time. And of course, Guns N' Roses, we know what happened with them. That album, just amazing. And so what a show that would have been.
Yeah. So just had to look that up. Fuel open for Aerosmith that night. So
interesting.
Now I'm going to go cry. Thanks, Jay.
You're welcome. Joe, thanks as always. We'll do it again next week.
Appreciate you, boys. Thank you.
Big Joe Dubin, Main Street Media, Main Street Preps. Give them a follow and follow him at Big Joe on the go. Yeah, I was so disappointed. He was like, Wahoo said, well, I got to go to work the next day. Made us leave.
Wow.
So upset. Oh, man. I mean, they were just getting into the
good stuff. In defense of Wahoo. It could be pretty tough getting out of that place.
It was.
I mean, it could take a while. There
but
weren't many roads coming in and out.
We missed Walk This Way, Sweet Emotion, Living on the Edge. Like, we missed some good stuff. But it's all good. It's all good. Darren, I know you're going to tell us about DraftKings.
My first house, I could hear the shows like Aerosmith in my backyard.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yep. It was fantastic navigating home.
I'm sure.
I could be home in less than 5 minutes. That was fantastic. Yes, the NBA is back. And at DraftKings Sportsbook, the authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, the key to victory is a strong starting five. New customers, listen up. You can bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game. And when they do that, you win $200 in free bets. So why not make your roster Washington, 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 and oh, yeah, Washington. Yeah, DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also get skin in the game with new same-game parlays where you combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now and use that promo code 1025GAME and bet just $5 of your money on any NBA team to win their game. And when they win, you win $200 in free bets. Yes, you win $200 in free bets. That promo code again, 1025GAME. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, the authorized sports betting partner of the NBA. You must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. We're giving you the chance to win Preds tickets during this month. This month is not over. What, 9 more days before Halloween? So you still got a chance. Just post a picture of your radio set on 102.5 The Game or your radio dial. Either way, you could be a winner. Post it on social media, Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Tag The Game using the hashtag #TicketDash. Hashtag #TicketDash to be instantly qualified. To win, show us your dash, brought to you by Social Furniture. Shop local, shop social. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, our show is presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD, products curated for life. I saw this. You heard me talk about DraftKings going into the break. Did you guys see this? Sportsline posted this. This was somebody last night. A $30,000 parlay. Listen to this. A $30,000 parlay. Browns money line. Appalachian State money line, and then a couple of NBA games. And I'm going to need a little help with this, Elijah, because I'm still stunned at what I'm seeing.
Well, Browns hit, App State hit.
Correct.
Because App State upset Coastal.
This was a four-team parlay. Browns and App State money line.
You said Sportsline they tweeted this?
Sportsline tweeted this. This was on DraftKings. Sacramento Kings money line, Denver Nuggets money line. That was the four-team parlay. Nuggets money line at the Phoenix Suns, Sacramento Kings money line.
Oh, I see. Okay,
Portland. That was These were two Wednesday games, and the App State was a Wednesday game, and then they had the Browns last night money line. That $30,000 parlay. Anybody want to guess?
I just found it, so I won't guess.
Oh, then don't guess.
$1 million.
Nope. $1.3 million. 1.3. How about that? 1.3 million dollars off a $30,000 parlay.
I mean, obviously this person's got coin if they can bet $30,000, but still. And I mean, you look at the parlay, that's not awful. I mean, the Browns were the only favorite they did, but you had +205 for Sacramento, +195, +180. That's a nice hit.
Mm-hmm. You think? Boy, wouldn't you love to see that person today after the Browns pulled off that win?
No doubt.
Oof. Like you said, Denver. I mean, they obviously have coin. I mean, you're not going out there borrowing money from family members to do that parlay.
No.
That's not how that works.
Well, and I thought about this last night because I took the Broncos. I was like, there's no way the Browns win this game with all the injuries they have. And then after I thought about it, you know, after the fact, I was like, what was I thinking? Like, this was the perfect. It was a Thursday night that nobody gave him a chance. Of course they're going to win.
Case Keenum.
Yep.
Case Keenum. The Baltimore Ravens, no Latavius Murray at practice today. No Sammy Watkins at practice today. Looks like Devontae Freeman's workload could increase. And a lot of people are talking about Rashad Bateman right now with the Ravens. Well, they just keep having guys drop left and right, and all the dudes keep winning. Hopefully they don't win this week because I have the Bengals and silly underdogs.
Just saying. That was a good pick by you.
Just saying.
Because that was what I was going to do, so then I went with the Titans.
I have a feeling. And I'm not going to sing it like Hal did last night with Nickelback, which created
quite the stir.
Yeah, it did. I mean, a good stir, but yeah. It created quite the stir.
It was a good effort.
It was a good effort.
It's just like when a guy karaoke's, you know, you want to support that person. They had the guts to get up there, and you might get up there, and you want the same support.
Yep.
So he had the guts to do it.
I wouldn't
quit my job and go.
I now have what a feeling tour, stuck in my head. I don't know why what a feeling is in my head, but it is now. So thanks.
There's that, right?
Yeah.
What a feeling. So we'll have you just made the list coming up at high noon. Also, we'll head to Kansas City at the bottom of the third hour and then pick six in the final hour. Still a lot more coming. We're going to learn a little bit more about this Chiefs team that, you know, nobody's counting out, but they don't look the same. And it's always interesting when you say, because we were talking about the Dodgers in the first hour. They're not the same Dodgers. Not that they don't look the same, but they're just not the same team. They've got a lot of key ingredients that aren't playing for them. They're not in the lineup. And so you wonder how that would affect them. Now, Kansas City, I wouldn't say that's necessarily the case. Although, Chris Jones, which we're going to find out in the next hour, is he going to be back in the mix? He's kind of vitally important on defense. But it's really more about, you know, uncharacteristically, they're turning the ball over a ton at an alarming rate. They lead the NFL in turnovers. Patrick Mahomes is giving the ball away a ton with throwing picks. And their defense just flat out doesn't look the same. It just doesn't look the same. Now, when you have that Kansas City offense, you don't have to be the number one defense in the league. You also don't need to be 32 in the league. You know, you need to, you can get away with it by being kind of, you know, hovering around the middle, somewhere in that 14 to, you know, 18 range. You can get away with it if you have a Kansas City offense. Well, that's not the case this year, at least to this point. So the question is, are the Titans going to be able to take advantages of the weaknesses of the Chiefs, at least what we've seen to this point?
You know what I see developing a lot? I'm looking at Football Outsiders and their preview of this game, and they're the number crunchers, right? They see the Titans win as a little bit of a surge and a little bit more of a fluke, dare I say. They did use that word. And they still see the Chiefs as a team that, yes, they have turned the ball over, but they don't see that trend continuing. They still see the Chiefs as an upper echelon team. So I think you got that chip on your shoulder again if you're the Titans.
Yeah. Well, here's going to be the key. We brought this stat up yesterday. It's Derrick Henry because, as mentioned, under Mike Vrabel, the Titans are 6-2 on short rest, and short rest is defined as basically a, you know, you have 4 or 5 days, defined 5 or fewer days in between games. So they're on the Monday night short week, and they're 6-2 under Mike Vrabel. But the key stat is Derrick Henry, because he's been in each of those contests, obviously, since Vrabel has been here, and he's had the two top statistical performances of his career. Like, he shows out in these games, and he's had a 238-yard game and a 212-yard game, and he had a huge game Monday night. He's going to be the key. If he can continue that trend, he averages 107.9 rushing yards on short rest since 2018. That leads the NFL, as do his 142 rushing attempts.
Well, and I think when you look at this I'm not going to surprise anybody by saying this, but they're just going to have to outscore them. This doesn't look like – this looks like another game that will be very similar to Monday night. It's the Titans' offense is going to have their A game. They're going to have to pass well enough to balance Derrick Henry. And you're looking at – you need 35 points. You need somewhere in that neighborhood to win.
But you're
not going to shut the Chiefs down.
Isn't that crazy, though, to think about with him? And we talk about, you know, the workload and all those things that, you know, he laughs off. But he's better on short rests, numbers-wise. He averages on a normal week, normal rests, 101 yards per game.
He defies all of the stuff. All the stuff I've been saying for years about the curse of 370.
I know.
And... you know, when that wear and tear, you're going to lose a step. He's running faster than he's ever run. He's taken on the workload. As you said, he's not fazed by short rest. He defies all of the logic of past players. So, listen, I mean, this is again, something we talk about all the time. He elevates everybody else. I think it's an interesting discussion of, you know, can the passing game catch up and get back close to where it was last year with its efficiency? Because they've done all this. They've gotten to 4-2. The defense has been a little bit better than it was last year. Still flawed, for sure. But I think we would all agree it's a little better than it was last year. But where they've regressed a bit is the passing game, right?
Well, I think, how do we feel about Ryan Tannehill's play this season?
I heard Joe and Robbie go through this same exercise, and I think it's important because the numbers are clearly way down for Ryan Tannehill. For example, you can look at any stat in terms of a comparison from last year to this year. You want touchdown passes to interceptions. You want quarterback rating. You want QBR. You want Football Outsiders efficiency. I mean, Ryan Tannehill is below average in the Football Outsiders efficiency. Last year, he was in the top six or seven.
I know.
And so right now he is 24th. He's still 12th in QBR because he runs well. He runs very, very well, and he's done it this year. So that's a little bit better. But the question that is really the fine tunes, right? Where do you dissect it? Because there's some obvious things working against him. They have not protected him well. We've gone through that all the time. It was better last week. He hasn't had Brown and Julio. Had him last week for part of the game. Let's hope A.J. Brown is ready to take a big step forward.
I know. Apparently, he's still been sick.
Still feeling the after effects of the food poisoning?
He tweeted yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that.
He tweeted yesterday he hasn't been able to keep anything down.
That's not good. And he still, when you watched him last week, I still think there's another gear for sure. He wasn't as fast.
No.
Even though he really came through in the clutch for them.
His exact tweet. Tweet. Quote.
His quote in the tweet, or tweet.
My body is rejecting any food I eat. This bleep ain't no joke.
This ain't no joke.
Anybody who's ever had it, it is no joke.
Ooh.
But yeah,
and do we think Julio has any chance of playing? No, right? Any chance?
Any chance?
You're telling me there's a chance.
What happened to one in a million talk? Yeah, I mean, I would say...
Okay.
I guess the only way the answer is...
I mean, we're going to know today.
No, right, is if Mike Vrabel comes out today and says Julio Jones is out.
All right, so where do you guys fall in that? How much has Tannehill regressed a little bit, and how much of it is these other circumstances? I still lean heavily towards the circumstances of poor pass protection and receivers who usually you could rely on haven't been there.
Well,
but there still is something to be said. He's not quite
as
sharp.
Look at the first half of last week.
He's not quite as sharp as he has been.
What does that have to – the first half of Monday night's game, does that really have to anything to do with all the factors that you threw out there?
I think there were some catchable balls that his guys didn't catch.
I also thought he was off.
I think he was off on a couple throws for sure. Clearly the interception was a bad decision. To throw that ball. That was
there's been too many of those this year. I mean, if you're just being honest, at least I'll say it. I mean, I think there's been too much of that.
Yeah, that was a bad ball.
I mean, there's been – you tell me, there's been some head-scratcher interceptions this year.
There have been. And you wonder, is that his decision-making? Is that the play he's trying to run? I mean, because I do believe that, you know, he's off a little bit, but I also believe that he's missed Arthur Smith. They just – there was something with those two that worked. So I certainly factor that in. But – I found this to be interesting when the Titans send out some notes to go along with this game. So last week, he completed his final 10 passes, including all 9 of his attempts in the fourth quarter and all 5 of his throws during the game-winning touchdown drive. He logged his league-leading 11th game-winning drive since joining the Titans in 2019. If you go back to the time he's been here, the 3 years that he has been here, during the fourth quarter in overtime, when the game is considered to be within a 1-score margin either way, he's completed 69% of his passes for over 1,300 yards and 11 touchdowns and just 1 pick. He's very efficient when the game is close. Which
he's been great
That's what you want.
Other than the playoff game last year, which still stings, but by and large, it's really remarkable. He's been at his best with the game on the line.
He's tied on this list for highest passer ratings from 2019 to 2020 with a close margin like this. He and one other quarterback are behind Deshaun Watson. And the other quarterback is his opponent this weekend, Patrick Mahomes.
You know what's interesting? There's some stats that are a little different than you would think. Like, for example, they're actually passing for more yards per game this year than they were last year. Last year, he averaged 239 yards per game. And this year, he's averaged 244 per game. But he's got 6 touchdown passes, 4 interceptions. The completion percentage is down, but only 2%. So it's not like he's been awful. It's just he's a notch below. But he's been sacked 20 times. 20.
That has to explain
a huge percentage. And then of course AJ and Julio, that's a big part of it. I think you could make the argument that's it. But I think we all, if you want to cut it a little finer, we can all remember some throws you're like, "Wait a minute, last year he was money on that throw and that was just a little bit off."
Yeah, well, here's the thing, though. How many times did he get sacked last week? 0.
Much better.
He got hurried some, but especially in
second. But still, even though he didn't get sacked last week,
he had pressure.
Has been given up the most sacks.
Right. And in the second half, though, I thought he did a better job of manipulating the pocket, whether he completely rolled out of it or just moved around enough where he gave himself more time to find the open receiver.
I would agree. And the other thing that jumped out at me last week, it just looked more like the rhythm of last year's offense. Henry, the fake. Am I giving it to Henry? If I am, look out. You better get up there. Ooh, I'm not giving it to Henry. Play action, crossing pattern. AJ Brown. That was the bread and butter. That was the first time that it really looked a lot like last year in the second half of the game against the Bills. That was encouraging.
Look, ultimately, when it counts, that's really the only stat that matters. And when it counted last week in the fourth quarter, that's when he was on. And whether I think he was off in the first half and didn't particularly look good in the first half, the end result is, did they win? Yes. How was he in the fourth quarter? He was really good. That's really all that matters. I mean,
yep.
What I felt about the first half is irrelevant. It resulted in a W. And when it counted the most, he was on. And so it is a four-quarter game. It's not a half. You know, it's not about a first half or a second. It is about the second half. And that's when he shined the most. He turned things around. I just think Ryan Tannehill has not looked the same this year. I don't think he has been as money as we have seen him the last, you know, couple of seasons. Does that mean it can't change? Of course not. I mean, there's still a long ways to go. I mean, there's 6 games in. So I just have been probably a little bit surprised because it's not the first time they've had offensive line issues.
No.
It's not the first time they've been shuffling guys in and out on the offensive line.
But they were playing. I thought they dealt with it better last year.
Well, they dealt with it better maybe because Ryan Tannehill was helping them deal with it better.
He wasn't.
Quarterbacks can change and manipulate the way the offensive line plays.
Well, he wasn't under as much duress last year at any time.
Yes.
He only got sacked 24 times the whole year last year.
But
he's already been sacked 20 times.
But he also had – I know there were games where either Corey Davis was out or A.J. Brown was out, but he at least had one of them in just about every game, whereas this year that hasn't been the case. I mean, he's been having to rely on –
Those two guys were in there a way higher percentage of the time
than what
they've
got now,
this year.
You know?
No
question. I don't think they particularly did a great job of setting up him to have success in the passing game. I think there was a lot of that. I think last year they did. Like I said, you can manipulate those stats. You can manipulate it. The quarterback can manipulate the offensive line play. And, oh, by the way, if your offensive line has got a lot of injuries or they're not playing well, you can manipulate it by, max protecting and doing other things with your tight ends, your fullbacks, whatever, to help him, right? And I think they did a better job of that last year. I think they're now doing a better job of it. I don't think they were particularly doing a great job of it in the first month of the season. And I think that played a factor in it.
Here's another way to look at it. And I think you said this, Darren. The bottom line is, are you getting the W's? Are you playing winning football? He is finding ways to get it done. The first game was an unmitigated disaster in every area. Since then, they're 4-1. And the game they lost was to the Jets. In that game, he still got them down there. Like, if Anthony Firkser catches a ball that's, within an inch, we might be talking about winning five straight since then. That game they played in New York was without A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. Their pass protection was horrendous in that game. He still threw for almost 300 yards. So I think it's not like he's lost it. The whole overall passing game is down a couple of notches in efficiency. But I don't think it's as much him. I think it's the other factors way, way more than off or he's not on the same page with the coordinator. I'm way less in that camp than just give me an offensive line that protects him. Give me AJ and Julio, and I think they'll be, because we're looking at, you need championship level from this offense, right?
Sure.
They haven't been that. They got the man behind him. That's there. He's carrying him right now.
But what you got in the
Bring
second half
that,
on Monday that's, was.
It looked a lot more.
And,
it looked a lot closer to it.
Yep. Vrabel was asked about this on Wednesday, I guess it was, Tuesday or Wednesday, about
– Wednesday.
It was Wednesday. About scripting plays that, most offenses script the first 20 or so plays and then adjust as the game goes on. We obviously saw that the offense wasn't doing anything in the first part of the game, and we've seen that quite a bit this year. But where I'll give them credit is, especially in the second half, they made those adjustments and looked at what Buffalo was throwing at them, and then you started to see the offense click. Now, obviously, a 76-yard run by the running back is going to help that. That's when things really started to go. But so what is it about the scripting plays and the game plan that Todd Downing and all of them come up with that isn't working? And what needs to change there? Because in-game adjustments seem to be working. It's just that initial, and Vrabel talks about needing to get faster starts. Well, you can't do that if the script's not working.
We'll come back and wrap up the second hour of the program. You just made the list just around the corner, but I'm going to talk to you about my friends at Cool Springs MD. Yes, they've been helping me for years, and I know they've been helping a lot of you for years, improve your quality of life. And who doesn't want that? I know I do. I certainly sign up for that. They've made me healthier and happier, and they've done a lot for you as well. And if you haven't experienced Cool Springs MD and you would like to lose some unwanted pounds, well, they take weight loss management very serious. They've got programs and products and people that can get you back on track and headed in the right direction, because we've all gone through that as adults, right? I mean, there has to be a phase at some point in your adult life where you're like, man, I need to shed some pounds. Well, they can certainly help you with that. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is the board-certified physician over there. His wife, Daphne, is the registered nurse, and their experienced staff can sit down with you and talk to you about rejuvenation. Your appearance should be important, and it gets tougher as we age. It's more challenging, but they'll discuss PRP, hair removal, Botox with you. And finally, hormone therapy. If you've been feeling off lately, you never had your levels checked, as we get older, our levels tend to dip. Sometimes they dip to an all-time low, which can affect your drive, your energy, your mood. And their staff can discuss BHRT, testosterone, estrogen. They do it all, and they do it all under one roof. They've got a state-of-the-art facility out there in Cool Springs at 1642 Westgate Circle. If you want to learn everything about them, just go to their website, coolspringsmd.com, or you can always pick up the phone and schedule an appointment or a consultation by dialing this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Got our NFL Game of the Week on Sunday. That's brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. The game this week will be the Eagles from Philadelphia in Las Vegas to take on the Raiders. Raiders and Eagles, 3:05 kickoff. You can hear it on 94.9. Check that out. By the way, you can also watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every day. See? Hi. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Friday. You just made the list coming up just around the corner. We'll head to Kansas City at the bottom of the third hour. Learn more about these Chiefs coming off a win over Washington. Boy, that Washington football team, not good.
Not great, Bob. Not great.
Question is there a who's the big time quarterback that's coming out this year?
In college?
Who's the Trevor Lawrence?
Is there one?
Who's the Joe Burrow? I know. Like, and they need a franchise quarterback. Bad.
I mean, this
so
draft
all the teams
class
that are looking for a franchise quarterback, is there one coming out?
I don't think so. I mean, this last year's draft was so ripe with talent, you know, skill positions, quarterbacks, all those things. This one, not so much, in my opinion. Now, you may have scouts and, you know, people you talk to, Darren, that could tell you this is a good football draft. You'll find some linemen and things like that, but I don't see a lot of the flashy players that.
Well, I mean, is
out.
Matt Corral going to be the first? I mean, is he going to be the first quarterback?
Yeah, but is he an NFL quarterback?
I would say if you listen to our interview with Jordan Rodgers,
I mean, he
adamantly will tell you yes.
He's contender for the Heisman, maybe the top contender for the Heisman. But does that always translate to the next level?
Well, there's always the guys, though. You have to keep this in mind, that just all of a sudden shoot up. And by the time draft day rolls around, they're the unmistakable.
Right, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, those guys.
So I just,
yes, unknown guys that you're like, during the season, you're like, yeah, this guy's pretty good or whatever. But then, boom. By the time the draft rolls around, hey, this guy could be the first pick or the fifth pick.
But how many times have those guys, like, I guess
Joe Burrow would have been in that category before the season started. Now, by the time the season started rolling that year that they won the title for LSU, his stock was rising big time. His profile was. But there's a lot of guys that midway through a college season are still relatively not on the radar.
Mm-hmm. Rarely does it. If you're talking about midway through a season, then typically it's on teams we're not watching. That's why. It's like nobody was paying attention to BYU. Nobody was paying attention to Wyoming, Josh Allen. So those guys, Trey Lance, nobody, North Dakota State. So not at LSU. There's nobody at a Power 5 right now that's going, I think maybe the second half, you know, these last four or five games, boy, they're just going to shoot up to number one on the draft board. Like, I don't see that. I mean, I just think what does Matt Corral not do?
Okay, so here you go.
Like, Jordan Rodgers came on and told us without a doubt he can make all the throws. He said he can make every single throw that Zach Wilson can make. So and he's like, Zach Wilson just went, you know, that was his example. Remember that guy, a bunch of people were listening, they went crazy. Well, are his dimensions off? Is Matt Corral 5'10"? No. What is he, 6'2"? Six something. I think he's 6'2". I don't think he's 6'3" or 6'4". I think he's like 6'2".
He's
over 200 pounds. It's not
6'2".
Like he's
yeah, two, number 6'2", 205.
Okay, he's not a number two pencil.
No.
Could still gain a little bit of weight, but so what does Matt Corral, he plays in the SEC, what can he not do?
Okay, so I put in the Google machine 2022 mock NFL mock draft. This was posted 18 hours ago on Fox Sports. With the number one pick in the 2022 NFL draft, the Detroit Lions select quarterback Matt Corral, Ole Miss.
Okay. Let me tell you, Willie, who's the – you want to hear the guy that you're talking about? I got your guy. Because I've heard him mentioned several times with guests that we've had on the show.
Okay.
And nobody's watching their games. Malik Wilson,
yep.
That kid at Liberty.
Willis, yep.
Or Willis, yeah. What did I say?
Wilson.
Yeah, Willis. Yeah, the kid at Liberty.
Yep.
There's your guy.
Okay.
In this same mock draft,
once they get to Indianapolis for the combine, and once we sit here and – go up and down every day where nothing changes. They don't play anything. They don't practice. And they're going to have a pro day. And all of a sudden, he's going to be the kid that probably shoots up the board.
In this mock draft from Fox Sports that, again, came out yesterday, they have him going fourth overall to the Houston Texans.
I don't think it's going to be a great quarterback class.
Well,
quarterbacks always go. Like, we know they're going to get drafted, but that doesn't mean they're going to be good.
This mock draft has three quarterbacks in the first five picks.
There you go. Who's the other one?
The Giants take him fifth overall. You want to take a guess? It's by default. ACC.
ACC? Well, it's not Clemson. Nope. Oh, Sam Howell North Carolina.
Yep.
And let me just say, good luck.
Good luck with that.
Good luck.
If the Giants do actually do that, that's two quarterbacks that people are going to go, oh, good luck.
Good luck.
That you drafted
them. Duke guy and a Carolina guy?
Yeah.
And honestly, how would you say Daniel Jones has worked out to this point?
Has not.
I would agree. I mean, I would say right now it is not. And everybody said, really? Really? Sixth overall in Nashville? Really? Giants? And I would say right now people are still going, really? Because it hasn't worked out.
They have the Jags second overall taking Evan Neal, the tackle from Alabama. Eagles third overall, Kayvon Thibodeau from Oregon. Darren Stingley going six overall.
Stingley's going to go higher than that.
He goes
Stingley's
six overall to the Jets.
Jets?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I mean, Stingley will go higher than six. I think
he's top five.
I agree. I think he's top five.
I'm looking to see. Tennessee Titans, 21st overall, Darian Kendrick, cornerback from Georgia.
They'll never take a cornerback. They don't need that. But, in fairness, there's going to be a lot of pressure on John Robinson.
No doubt.
You're going to go corner years in a row?
Well, just whoever the pick is. There's going to be all kinds of scrutiny.
Massive pressure, yes. Massive. Okay, speaking of scrutiny, who's going to be on the list when we come back to start the third hour? Who or what has made you mad? I want you to feel good going into the weekend. Let's get it off your chest. Tell us. 615-737-1025. We'll come back with your phone calls to begin the third hour. That's next on Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
But first, let me tell you about BetMGM. Titans fans are the greatest fans in all of sports, and BetMGM is celebrating them with a special offer on their favorite team. Sign up for BetMGM using the code 1025GAME100 and make any $1 wager on the Titans game. Once the bet is placed, you'll receive $100 in free bets. It's simple as that. And the opportunities to score big this season, they don't stop there. You know that. Try BetMGM's one-game parlay feature and combine bets within a single football game, including my favorite team and player props. Or you can check out BetMGM's fan-friendly promotions like special boosts, odds boosts, early cash-out offers, sweepstakes, giveaways, and much more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use that code 1025GAME100 to receive $100 when you make any $1 bet on the Titans game. New customer offer, paid in free bets. You must be 21 years or older. Must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for a full list of terms and conditions. For gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.